way through the New Testament, and we're going to read in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 17. And everyone say, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him." Praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, whatever you do, whether it's in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when you do, you give thanks to God and the Father by him. All right. God bless you. If you love his word, as you're seated this morning, let's give him praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We praise you, mighty God, and we bless you. And we thank you for your word and the privilege of handling your word in this house today. Praise God. Well, God is so very good to give us the privilege to be a part of his people and to be in his house today. And if you're a visitor here, we're so glad you came to spend a Sunday morning with us. And we hope you leave better than you walked in and go away with a blessing from God and maybe filled up with the Holy Ghost for the very first time. And anybody in the house that's never been down in the water, in Jesus' name, we've got water and we've got a robe for you, and we'll baptize you, and God will meet you here and put his name on you and wash all your sins away. Now, that is a good deal. There's no place you can't get that. I love Walmart, but you can't get that at Walmart. And so you just need to take advantage of what God has made available. So whatever you do, do it all in the name of Jesus. If you remember when Brother Blash was here, Brother Blash is an interesting fellow. Has a background in special forces. He presently is a pastor and a family therapist and works, plies his PhD trade at a university there in St. Louis. But he is interesting. His background was in special forces, and he was the Jeep driver, the flag driver for Norman Schwarzkopf in the first Gulf War. And he was only 20 years old. He was a youngster at the time, and in his early 20s didn't realize probably all of that power that he had upon him because of the name Storman Norman Schwarzkopf. And it opened doors for him, and it got him in places, and it got him out of places, and it got him access to things, and it brought him into places he never would have been allowed. He didn't have the power, nor the notoriety, nor the authority to go. But when he drove up in that Jeep and he had those papers in his hands and he was representative of a four-star general, well, then everything was open to him. And all he had to do was say that he drove. And now he was a part of a great underground revival there in Saudi Arabia. And the only reason he got involved in that and was able to navigate that was because of the credentials that he bore as a driver for the general. I want you to know that when you walk up and down in your day, you need to have authority in your life, because there's a lot of predatory things. Our world has lost its mind. I'm just telling you, you can take your the news du jour, you can read the headlines of the day and take your pick, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of interesting situations in our world today, and you need authority in your life. You need authority for your home and for your family and for your marriage and for your sanity. You need authority in your life, and there is no higher authority than the name of Jesus. So Paul is working with this church at Colossae. They are in a Hellenistic city. It's a Hellenistic Grecian culture. He's bringing them out of that culture and into the culture of living for God. It's a totally different culture when you come to live for God. It was in Paul's day, and it is today. If you're really living for God, you have a seismic cultural shift in your life when you come to God. And as you live for God, things drop off of you. Things that are like the world outside, we call the world Egypt. We call it the dominant culture. We call it the world because that's the language of the scripture. Those things begin to fall away and the things of God begin to adhere to your life. And consequently, the good things of God begin to adhere to your life and the blessings of God begin to adhere to your life. But you have to come out of that culture and into God's culture. And that's what Paul is doing with this church at Colossae, and we've been dealing with a lot of the ideas that he's been working with them on, and here he wants them now in their lifestyle, whatever you do, keep the name of Jesus in the forefront of everything that you do. Let it be on your mind, let it be in your mouth, let it be in your song. We just got out of a verse that said you need to sing a lot. You need to have a culture of music and singing and song and psalms in your home and in your personal life. Now, the emphasis on the name, though, is very, very interesting and very important for you if you plan to do business with God. Psalms 148 and 13. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is excellent, and his glory is above the heaven and the earth. And there's an admonition in the scripture to praise the name of the Lord. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 9. It's in the Lord's Prayer. After this manner, therefore, pray you, our Father which art in heaven. Everyone say, hallowed be thy name. Everyone say, holy be thy name. Everyone say, high and lifted up be thy name. Now, there's a lot of things about the kingdom of God that I can tell you what works, but I can't tell you how it works. I know that an oak tree is in an acorn. I can tell you that that's how that works. I can tell you that that is what it does, but I can't tell you how it works. And there's not a botanist alive that can tell you how that spark of life is in there for however long and then breaks forth and progressively becomes an oak tree. I'm just telling you, there's something you can feel it begin to move in this house when you begin to say, hallowed be thy name. Holy is your name. High and lifted is your name, O Lord. I praise your name. I dare you. Just clap your hands and praise him a little bit. Just praise that name. I praise you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. Hallowed be the name. Holy is the name of the Lord. You begin to feel something. Something begins to move. The kingdom of God is reciprocal in a lot of its dynamics. And as you begin to flow into God, God begins to flow into you. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. And so the name of the Lord is not a plaything, and it's certainly not a curse word, although our world has made it a curse word. And you need to be careful that you don't just flippantly and casually and carelessly use the name of Jesus. Throughout the Old Testament, there is an unfolding revelation of God. God manifests himself as the angel of the Lord and as Melchizedek to Abraham and as the angel that wrestles with Jacob. And he appears to Moses as a burning bush. These are theophanies, and God always is revealing himself. He is, if you would, the God in the midst of the candlestick, always revealing himself, leading you further and further into a knowledge, into a conceptualization of him, because the more about him you know, the more of his power you can access, and the more of his storehouse you have access to. God is revealed to us by his name. You can find out a lot about the qualities of God or the characteristics of God by his name. In the Old Testament, God is continually unfolding his character and his qualities and his power by his name. In Genesis 17 and 1, he is El Shaddai. It's Lord God Almighty. It's seven times used through the Old Testament. In Genesis 14 and 18, he's El Elyon, the Most High God, used 28 times in the Old Testament. In Genesis 15 and 2, he's Adonai, which means Lord and Master, 434 times in the Old Testament or in the Word of God. In Genesis 2 and 4, we encounter for the very first time the name of God, Yahweh. And Yahweh is a name that was never meant to be spoken. It was the unspeakable name of God. It was a series of consonants without vowels. YHWH. You can't You can't say that. It doesn't have a vowel in it. And so that it could be written and so that later on we could handle it, people began to insert vowels. And around 1300 or so, they began to insert vowels and they derived the word Jehovah. Jehovah is not really a good translation or transliteration, but it is so pervasive. Everybody knows it. We don't make a deal of it. But closer would be the word Yahweh, because it was YHWH, and that's closer to the Hebrew language. It is the spoken tetragrammaton, the four letters that the Jews would write, but they wouldn't speak, because it was the unspeakable name of God. It simply means Lord. It is the name of God. It's used over 6,500 times in the Old Testament. He is Jehovah Nisi. He is my banner in Exodus 17. He's Jehovah Ra. He's the Lord my shepherd in Psalms 23. He's Jehovah Rapha. He's the God that heals in Exodus 15. He's Jehovah Shammah, the Lord who is there in Ezekiel 48. He's Jehovah Sidkenu. The Lord is our righteousness in Jeremiah 23. He's Jehovah Mekodeshim. He's the Lord that sanctifies you in Exodus 31. He's El Olam, the everlasting God in Genesis 21. He's Elohim over 2,000 times, the first time in Genesis 1 and 1. In the beginning, God. The word God is Elohim. And it tells us something about him. It's called the majestic plural, and it is so majestic it requires a plural pronoun that follows after it, because the qualities of God are so many and so dynamic. He's Jehovah or Yahweh Kana. He is a jealous God. He's Jireh, the God who will provide on the mountaintop with Abraham and with Isaac. He's Jehovah Shalom, and the Lord is our peace. He's the Lord of hosts. And throughout the Old Testament, he reveals himself and qualities and characteristics by the names that he labels himself with. And the most recent manifestation of this continuing revelation of the name of God is the name Jesus. Everyone say Jesus. Jesus is the English version of Yahweh is become salvation, or God has become salvation. It is the English form of the Hebrew Yeshua, that is Joshua. In the Old Testament, from the Hebrew to the English, Yeshua is the rendering from the Hebrew, and in the English, from the Greek in the New Testament, it comes out Jesus. Joshua and Jesus are essentially the same and identical name. It's Jesus from the Greek and Joshua from the Hebrew. And this is going to continue, this unfolding revelation of God. Right now, God has become our salvation. He built it and through prophetic progress brought it down to its crystallization at the cross. All Old Testament prophecy made its way to the nexus of the cross, and there's this huge collision of the judgment and the mercy of God at the cross, and then that explodes out into the church age and now into the millennial after us. But everything hinges on that event that took place, where God came down from heaven and robed himself in flesh and gave himself a sacrifice for the sins of mankind. And that was defined by his name. God is become our salvation. Yahweh is salvation, or if you would, Jesus, Yeshua. This will continue into the millennial. Revelation 19, beginning in verse 11. Revelation 19 is Battle of Armageddon. It is the return of the Lord coming back with his saints. It is the Antichrist and the false prophet cast into the lake of fire. And chapter 20 goes right on over to the lockup of Satan and the beginning of the millennial. So this is what John saw when Jesus is returning. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. Everybody say Faithful and True. You understand, we're getting descriptive names of God here. Faithful and True. And it's interesting, in just a short passage, how many times he will be labeled or described or named here. He's called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. Which is an indication to you that when you step across the timeline out of the church age or the time of the Gentiles into the time of the millennial, which is the 1,000 years after us, that God is going to reveal even more about himself with a new name that as he's coming back, he's got, John said, a new name that nobody knows but him himself. And what he's going to do is reveal that. And during the millennial, you're going to have to get used to a new name. Now, this is as jerky and as jolting and as difficult for you as it was for a Jew to get used to the idea that there's no more earthly high priest and there's no more tabernacle and Jerusalem's not the place anymore. They had to get used to that in the church age. You get used to the idea that Jesus is God. He's not, that's not all of God you're seeing there. That's God for a dispensation. That's God for salvation. But he's going to reveal more of himself as we move. Well, I see some of you choking on that already. I'm just reading to you from the book. He's got a name that nobody knows but he himself. And he's clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. Everyone say the Word of God. John chapter 1 verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Verse 3. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The Word of God is the Creator. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He is the Creator come down to earth, and the world didn't know who he was. Verse 11. He came to his own, and his own received him not. He was the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He was the God of Israel, but when he came, they didn't know who he was. Verse 14, and the Word, or if you would, God, or Creator God, or the God of Israel, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as of the glory of the only begotten, full of the Father, full of grace and truth. And his name is called the Word of God. So God, throughout the Bible, has many descriptives and many places where his name will be called thus and so, but in every dispensation, he has a dominant name. And in our dispensation, that name is Jesus. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses. That should be you. I don't ride very well, but I'm going to learn. Clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Isn't that good news that God can wash you and make you whiter than snow? And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He is Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture, on his thigh, a name written, another name. In this small little passage, so many names, so many descriptives. But you could talk about him all day long, and you would never exhaust everything that he is and everything that he's able to do and all of the power of God. Well, praise God. And on his vesture and thigh, a name written, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. He cried with a loud voice, and he's inviting the fowls to come and dine at Armageddon to the supper of the great God. All of these titles are of the great God. They are of the Almighty God. And so you need to understand God has many titles, but he's neither multiple persons nor is he schizophrenic. God is one. You have to, as you're reading the Bible and as it unfolds and as it's opening up to you and as you're gaining line on line, precept on precept, and you're getting the picture, you have to always define what you find by what has already been established. You can't go through a passage like this and ever become untethered from Deuteronomy 6 and 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. All right. So we start, there's only one God. So I'm moving and I find God who is titled a certain thing, or he manifests as something else, or he gives you another descriptive here. He's still just one God. He's just a very complex God, and he's a God with multitudes of attributes. He is Elohim. That's how you start. He is the majestic plural of God. Praise God. In the Psalms, I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Now, I want you to understand, and you need to know, that in the world today, there are doctrinal positions that separate God and create a plurality of persons in God. This is not an accurate reading of the Word of God, nor is it intellectually honest. This idea did not begin until 300 years or so after the Christ. It was not refined until 400 years. And it was refined by Catholic philosophers like Aquinas and the founders of the Roman Catholic philosophy. It was created by that. But I want you to understand that in their founding documents, they declare that Jesus is a separate person from the Father. And they declare that to resolve the fact that he is God, they declare that they are both Father and Son eternal. They are wrong on so many levels. And I want to talk to you just for a second about that, in that God is eternal, but the flesh of the Son was not eternal. Hence, the office of the Son is not eternal. You say, well, how can you say that? Well, I just read you a passage of Scripture. Thou art my Son. This day have I begotten thee. You can't have a day when you are begotten and be eternal. You might last from then on, but you didn't last from the beginning till then. The Son, the flesh, the manifestation of the Christ, the anointed one of God, was an instance in time. It was prophesied. God created that by the prophecy of his word. He brought that to pass. But the sonship is temporal in the terms that thou art my Son, this day have I begotten thee. Praise God. So, In the prayer of the apostles in Acts chapter 4, Jesus is identified as the subject of Psalms 2. Thou art my Son, this is Jesus that we know and love as the Redeemer, the Savior, the Son of God. And here's what they prayed in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 25. They just got thrown into jail and got out of jail. They'd been beaten, and now they're back at church, and they're testifying about it, and everybody prays the same prayer together. Who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. This is the first couple of lines out of Psalms 2. For of a truth against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate and the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before was to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. I want you to know the New Testament church in its birth was fixated on the name. They said, I want you to do everything you do in word or deed in the name. And when they're praying to him, they say, God, we want you to do miracles. We want you to move down here by the power of the name of your holy child, Jesus. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Paul said, whatever you do in word or deed, I want you to do it all in the name of Jesus. Giving thanks to God and the Father by him. Praise God. I'm going to celebrate you. I'm going to say you're a good boy and you've done good things and I'm really proud of you. But as I do that, he doesn't get a thing out of that. He can't get what I give to you. Because you're two separate persons. Because you're not the same person. And when I'm saying, I praise you, Jesus. I worship you, Jesus. I lift you, Jesus. If they are separate persons in a fictitious Godhead, then the Father doesn't get any glory at all when I'm talking about Jesus. I want you to know this, though. When Paul says, you give thanks to Jesus and God and the Father get glory, it's because Jesus is God and Jesus is the Father manifest in the earth. Well, praise God. People get hung up on pronouns, and they get hung up on the construct of the language. And so they see God and his son Jesus. And they have to do something with that because that means something. But you know, the president of the United States has a lot of titles, but he's just one. Revelation 20:2 talks about the devil, who is Lucifer, and that old dragon, the serpent. But there's only one devil. You're not trying to make a theology where there's multiple devils. There's only one devil. But when it comes to God, way back there, several hundred years after Jesus, somebody started fooling with the process. But I want you to know that if the language separates them, that in this verse that we're looking at right here in Colossians 3:17, when it talks about Jesus, you give thanks to him, and by that you give thanks to God and the Father. Well, then you don't have three, you got four. Because you got Jesus, the Holy Ghost, and God, and the Father. So God and the Father are separate. Oh, no, God and the Father are one. Well, you can't have it both ways. Either the language means what it says or it doesn't. Or the theology means what it says or it doesn't. But I want you to understand today, the reason that God gets glory when you're thanking Jesus is because Jesus is God. Every bit of God, every bit of God was in him bodily. And I want you to know that the reason the Father gets glory when you thank Jesus is because Jesus is the Father God come down to earth in the form of man. He is the Creator. He is the Redeemer. He has become my salvation. Praise God. I'm in Isaiah 9:6. Are you okay? Isaiah 9:6. You're going to get cards about this in a couple of months here. When Christmas season rolls around, you're going to get Isaiah 7:14. And he's called, in Isaiah 7:14, he's called Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. He is God with us. And there's only one God. So that God came to be with us. Well, what did he send into the earth? He sent his flesh into the earth. But he was inside that flesh. He was touching their babies. And he was healing their sick. And he was walking on the water, and he was multiplying the bread, and he was every bit of God in a man's body. Isaiah 9:6, everyone say, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. And isn't it wonderful? Counselor. And hadn't he been your counselor in a dark season of time? But listen, watch, hold on. You need to hear this. That little baby, the son that's born, the child that's born, the son that's given, is the mighty God. Now, I don't know how you're going to deal with that, but I can't deal with it but one way. I believe what the Bible says. I believe it says what it means, and it means what it says. That little baby is the mighty God. That little baby is the everlasting Father. Well, how did God do that? I can't tell you the hows. I can just tell you that he did. I don't know how he parted the Red Sea, but he did. I don't know how they crossed Jordan in the middle of a flood, but I don't know how a man went down into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion, but I know that he did. I don't know how Daniel spent the night with hungry lions, but he did. I don't know how Lazarus got up out of the grave, but I know that he did. I can't explain the mechanics. If you got to have an understanding of the mechanics before you can believe God, you'll just go to hell. Because if you can understand everything about him, that you're God. If you understood everything about him, he wouldn't be God. Oh, praise God. Matthew 1:21. She shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name. Everybody say Jesus. For he shall save his people from their sins. That's what the name means. Yahweh is salvation. Yahweh has become salvation. He shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord, by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, Isaiah 7:14, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is, Emmanuel means, Jesus was, the baby was, in the manger was, the angels came and sang about, And the shepherds came round about and looked at. And the wise men came and brought gifts because he was. And when you call on that name, it is. And when you worship that name of Jesus, it is. And when the presence comes down, it is. And when you bring your problems to the altar, it is. And when you've got a need in your life, it is. Somebody ought to praise him. He is God. Every bit of God, nothing but God. Luke 21 and 17, Jesus said, and by the way, people are going to hate you for my name. You know that today, this very day, we cannot be a part of the National Council of Churches because of his name. We can't be a part of the World Council of Churches because of his name. Let me make the record clear. I don't want to be a part of any council that doesn't understand the name that is above every name that's not willing. Do you know they call us the other Pentecostals because of the name? Do you know they don't want to fellowship us because of the name? Jesus said, you're going to be hated of all men for my name's sake. Now, what's so important about the name? When we tell them about you better be baptized in Jesus' name, they say you make too big of a deal about the name. You cannot make too big of a deal about the name above every name. Mark 16, 17, these signs will follow them that believe in my name. Somebody say his name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. Acts 19, 13, certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them that had evil spirits in the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by the Jesus that Paul preaches. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus, I know. And Paul, I know. But who are you? You can't do Jesus second-handed. You got to know Jesus for yourself. And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded. You need to know the name of Jesus for yourself. You need to hear it. You need to believe it. You need to sing about it. You need to pray with that name. When you pray for your babies, you pray in the name of Jesus. When you pray over the food, you pray in the name of Jesus. When you baptize somebody, you better put them down in the name of Jesus. And if you're in this house today and you went down in the waters in the titles, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Matthew 28, 19 is a commandment. Jesus said, fellas, I'm leaving. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. He said, listen, I want you to teach them. Teach all men. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. This is so very clear. He told them to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. An atheist with a high school diploma should be able to do this. Name is a noun. Of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Ghost. Prepositional phrases. They all look back to the name, to the word name. They all look back. It defines them. It represents all of them. There is no clearer statement of the one God of Deuteronomy 6 and 4 than Matthew 28, 19. He said, guys, I want you to go baptize in the name. One name is going to cover the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. But you didn't have to stop there. One name covers the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the Lamb of God, our Redeemer, our Provider, our Healer, our Savior, our Mighty God. He's everything we ever needed. He's the tabernacle, and he's the light of the tabernacle. He's the high priest, and he's the God that he brings us to. He is everything in the Word of God, in one person, in one name. So Peter, to whom he was speaking, Peter, to whom he had given the keys to the kingdom, Peter, to whom he had said, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on the earth is loosed in the heaven.
Peter went out and on the day of Pentecost said, and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. There was not one Trinitarian in the first century church, because the Trinity didn't exist. It was still in the yet-to-be-born bowels of the Roman Catholic Church. That's why you don't find anybody in the Bible baptized in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I was baptized in the Southern Baptist Church in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, but they didn't use the name. My wife was baptized in the Presbyterian Church in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, but they didn't use the name. Somewhere along the line, somebody needs to stop and say, why don't you use the name? I mean, everything you do in word or deed, do in the name of Jesus. My God, clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Jesus. Jesus. Almighty God, we praise you. Praise God. Something about the name of Jesus. Something about that name of Jesus. We could start testifying right now of a day you were scared out of your wits, but you just started whispering that name of Jesus. A day when you were in need and you didn't know what to do, but you just started talking about that name of Jesus. A day when you were confused and you were troubled, but you just began to breathe that name of Jesus. I didn't understand it when I was brand new, and old Sister Elmina Parker would be sitting there and she'd be shucking peas or something, and while she was doing it, she's Jesus, 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 Jesus. And I just loved them all, because we had just recently fallen in love with the Word of God and the things of God and consequently the people of God. And I didn't understand what she was doing, but she was whatever she did in word or deed, she was snapping peas. She was doing it in the name of Jesus. She was just using that time and opening her mouth and just knowing something powerful is going out of me when I use that name. I don't know what it's doing. I don't know who it's affecting, but it's creating an aura that comes only by the power of that name. Peter and John outside the gates of the temple, Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. Everyone say, in the name of Jesus Christ. Say it with boldness. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand, and strength came to his ankle bones, and he began to run and leap and dance by the power of the name of Jesus. Luke 24 and 46, and said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer, to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Nobody preached repentance in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Nobody preached baptism in the titles Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. They all did it in the power of the name of Jesus. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. This is the birthday of the church. This is the first message. The people in the street said, how? What can we do, men and brethren? What must we do? What shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Y Pedro les dicen, arrepentíos y bautícese cada uno de vosotros en el nombre de Jesucristo para perdón de sus pecados y recibiréis el don del Espíritu Santo. Somebody say, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Shake your neighbor and tell them, whatever you do, in word or deed, do it all, do it all, do it all in the name of Jesus. John 14, 13, whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do. Philippians 2 and beginning in verse 9, wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Everyone say, a name above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Let me suggest to you that if there is a father who is separate from this Jesus, he's bowing before him right now. Your theology is broken. Your theology is corrupt. You've got to tether your theology to the Word of God. There's only one God. And right now, his powerful name is Jesus. God has become our salvation. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. How does God the Father get glory? Because he is in Jesus. Colossians 2, 8, 9, and 10. All of the fullness of the Godhead is in him. What's in him? Bodily. Every bit of God was in him. Well, how does he do that? Well, I don't know how he does that. I don't know how he gave you the Holy Ghost. I don't know why he put an ear on either side of your head. I don't know why he uses bilateral symmetry about all that. Eyeballs here. Randomly. I don't know why he does that. Get off of that. Why does he do that? Why should he? Just read the book and do what the book says. Whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. They're before the high court of the Sanhedrin. They are being examined because they've healed the sick man, the impotent man, the lame man outside the gate. Beautiful. And it's caused a ruckus in the city, and everybody's upset, and they can't have that. And so they bring them to answer about it. Peter says, in Acts 4 and 9, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone that was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There's only one saving name. There's only one saving name. You know how Paul wraps up Galatians chapter 3? He said, as many of us as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And if we be Christ, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The promise of God comes down on your life when you are aligned with God and with the Abrahamic covenant through baptism in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, praise God. Praise God. By the way, everybody in the Bible that was baptized was immersed, submerged. The word baptism means to submerge. There wasn't nobody sprinkled in the Bible. It came out of the same place where the Trinity came from. They wanted to start baptizing babies, and it was a hassle to put them under the water. Made everybody upset. And so they just started, well, we'll just put a little on their head. That'll do. We can just close this old, dusty old book, and we can edit that. We can do it our own way. And that's how that started back in the garden with the devil and an alternative to the word of God. That goes on in every day of your life. You get an opportunity to have an alternative to the word of God. But if you want to be right with God and you want to please God and be in alignment with God and you need God moving on your behalf, you need to be in alignment with his word. If you've never been baptized in Jesus' name, I wouldn't wait another minute. I'd come get a robe right now. I'd come stand right over here and say, get me a robe right now. I'm gonna go down in the water right now in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Acts chapter 8, and when they believed Philip preaching, this is verse 12, they believed Philip preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. He was preaching to them about the name of Jesus Christ. They were baptized, both men and women. Now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who when they came down prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen on none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Here's one coming to be baptized right now. We're just ahead of you. We got the baptizer, we got the water, we got the robes. If you'd like to go down the water, there's only one thing that needs to happen, is you need to check your will and get yourself going and get yourself into the word of God. Praise God. When they came down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. At Samaria, Philip baptized everybody in the name of Jesus. You say, why are you doing that? Why are you reading this? I'm reading this because I want you to know and be compelled by the fact that nobody in the Bible was baptized any other way. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. There's something else in this passage you need to know. These people were believers and they had been baptized. They did not have the Holy Ghost. Believing doesn't get you the Holy Ghost. Even believing to the point of having been baptized, they didn't have the Holy Ghost. Well, what do you mean they don't have the Holy Ghost? When do you get the Holy Ghost? Well, when you believe God, really. Well, see, you made that up on your own. You didn't get out of the Bible. In the second chapter of Acts, they got the Holy Ghost and the whole place started shaking. And they got the Holy Ghost and they spoke in tongues. There was a wind from heaven, like a rushing mighty wind. They all spoke in a language they didn't know. Here at Samaria, they laid their hands on them and they prayed for them and they were filled with the Holy Ghost. And somebody standing beside them knew they had gotten it. How did they know they had gotten it? Acts chapter 10, they're baptized in the name of the Lord. They get the Holy Ghost. They talk in tongues. Acts chapter 19, there's people already baptized. Paul asked them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? They said, we didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. And he said, well, how are you baptized? And they were baptized like John the Baptist was baptized. And he baptized them again. He rebaptized them in the name of Jesus. I don't care if you've been baptized 5 times. If you hadn't gone under the water in the name of Jesus, you hadn't been baptized once yet. I say that because we meet people in Birmingham that have been baptized to join a church. Baptism is not about joining a church. Baptism is being born of the water so you can join the kingdom of God. There is Old Testament theology. David said to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and a spear and a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts. Lindsay, come help me. The God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. Proverbs 18 and 10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth in and is safe. You should never be ashamed of the name of Jesus. When somebody asks you who your hero is, you shouldn't have to think. You should always say, my hero is Jesus, because nobody else died for me and nobody else cleansed my sins. You need to be overtly Christian. You need to be overtly the people of God. Somebody say amen. I'm telling you, he was not ashamed of you. He took off a royal robe. He hung it up and he put on a robe of flesh. And he stepped down out of the gates of heaven. And he stepped down onto the dusty, dirty streets of this world. And he didn't mind touching a leper. And he didn't mind touching a blind man. And he didn't mind sitting down at a table with them and breaking bread with them. I'm telling you, he's not ashamed of hanging around with us. You ought not be ashamed of him, and his name is Jesus. You ought to be able to speak his name. I've never met anybody that had a greater gift of imparting faith than Brother Billy Cole. And Brother Cole could make you laugh until you cried, and then reach in and tear your heart out and cause you to see a dynamic of the kingdom of God perhaps you had never seen before. He was so serious about the things of God. When we first were building the church, finally got where we could have some people come. You know, when you just first start and you just got to make do with what you got. You know, he started being able to invite some preachers to come. I was so, so excited. Brother Cole was coming. And we actually got him the second week of December 1 year. And he said, he called me like a week before. He said, do you think anybody will come? I said, you're Billy Cole. They'll come. We had people standing along. That's when, Brother E.T., that's when Armin and Esther came. And Esther had a fit in the baptistry. Got the real Holy Ghost. Praise God. But I picked him up in my little imitation car, my little Honda hatchback. And Billy Cole was about big enough to fill that whole car, hatch and all. I got him in there, though. And we're making our way to church. And in the middle of just a moment when nothing's going on, he had such good pipes. He said, "We come in the name of Jesus." It made me sit up. I'm not just going to church in my little imitation car. Man, I'm going to church in the name of Jesus. It just clarifies everything. We are the sons and daughters of Jesus. We are about Jesus' business. We are fulfilling the commission of Jesus. We are an extension of the incarnation of Jesus. Praise God. Somebody that loves the name, just lift up your hands. Praise God. Something about the name. Something about the name. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Ah, how I love the name. Somebody ought to just begin singing what's on your heart right now. Ah, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. There's just something about that name. It doesn't matter if anybody else is singing it, just sing it. Oh, how I love Jesus. Sweetest name. Highest name, worthy, worthy name. Let's stand together. What a wonder you are, Jesus. Somebody say, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What a wonder. He's everything that God's ever been. What a wonder. I love him while you sing it, Jesus. Oh, what a wonder. Ah, oh, somebody say, Jesus. I just fall in love with him all over again. Oh, Jesus. Ah, what a wonder. Somebody say Jesus. Hallelujah. If you hadn't been living like he likes it, you need to make your way down to this altar and do it in Jesus' name. You know he's going to meet you here. You know he's going to cleanse you here. But you need to come. If you've never been down in the water in Jesus' name, you need to come. Hallelujah. Come on, let's love him. Let's worship him. Let's praise him.